Winky Madad is our broadcast partner. David Dolan out of pocket for a couple of weeks. Winky Madad is going to fill in for David during these times. Winky Madad has a very interesting background. He's been involved in the political arena. He was in charge and the leader of Media Watch, watching the media in Israel as to what they were saying and really were they telling the truth. Winky Madad is on top of not only activities in Israel, but across the Middle East. And that's why we bring him to these microphones as one of our broadcast partners. Our broadcast partners give us insight into what's happening. Winky, Iran has been holding these war games, the mock targets. Israel is one of those targets they were shooting at. And they say within minutes they'll be able to destroy any of their attacking enemies. Is Israel, Winky, really concerned about all that's going on in Iran?
Well, definitely we're concerned about the bellicosity of the of the government of Iran, a very anti-Semitic statement made a week ago, if I'm not mistaken, by the foreign minister. All the soothing talk that was made over the past 2 years by many elements in the media, liberal press, as well as actually the arch-conservative press about Israel being not truthful about the intentions of Iran, that the country can be trusted. Obviously, all this is now behind us, and now it's just a matter now of can we force Iran, either through the sanctions of an economic character or other pressures or a veiled threat of military force, to calm things down and assure that Iran will not attack either Israel or other objects such as, and targets, I should say, like Saudi Arabia and other countries, and Europe next because of the range of their missiles. Israel has been called out as if it were calling wolf too many times, but it's not the case, and obviously they are very intent upon a military confrontation.
It's a very interesting statement there, Winky. You pointed out that those nuclear weapons of mass destruction that are being prepared for right now, the long-range missiles, the Shahab-3 missile, that could carry a nuclear warhead, could hit Saudi Arabia, could hit the European Union. They've threatened all of the U.S. military bases in the Middle East, so Israel is not a lone wolf in this concern about this development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction there in Iran. Interesting statement earlier in the week, July 4th, of course, America celebrates its birthday. Shimon Peres making the statement that the United States is Israel's greatest ally. Now, that being the case, do you think if there's a preemptive strike that is made on Iran by Israel, you're going to see the United States jump on board real quick?
Well, as far as I can read the issue over the past 2 years or more now, Israel has made a very intense and strenuous effort to combine actions and understandings with the United States as much as possible. Obviously, we've had talks with the White House. We've had Joint Chiefs of Staff generals here. And it obviously, whatever goes down will be with full understanding, even to the extent that maybe the United States understands that Israel might have to do something preemptive. And so I feel very confident that that status of ally will hold up very well because I have been amazed myself, Jimmy, at the restraint shown by Israel in this issue. And it's obviously that we're not on a renegade wild path, but that we made every effort to coordinate with all our allies earlier, including France, if you remember, and other countries, Germany, that have come halfway or one-third of the way on board. Israel is not doing this out of a wish to completely upset the Middle East regional effort here.
Earlier in the week, there was an attack by a Syrian military aircraft on a Turkish aircraft. It was downed, the Turkish aircraft, I believe, going into the Mediterranean. That caused some real concern in Turkey. Tayyip Erdogan saying that he would retaliate in his own time when he thought it was appropriate to do. Meanwhile, Syrians take troops to the border there with Turkey, and there are some Turkish military jets that are scrambled to go into that area. Now, that's talking about the Turkish-Syrian border. I'm going to focus now on the Israeli-Syrian border. Are there not IDF soldiers up there in preparation for a possible incursion into the Golan Heights by the Syrians to try to distract the world from what's really happening in Syria? And are the Israelis concerned about this?
Well, I could be a little bit wiser, but I haven't yet spoken to my son, who's just finished a stint of reserve duty up there. So I cannot give you inside information because he hasn't yet spoken to me, just coming back. But I can tell you that Israel has to look at this issue very carefully. Again, because of not only a, shall we call it, Arab/Muslim and Israeli conflict element which exists, but also because Syria is Iran's greatest ally, because the leadership there is Alawite, which is not exactly Sunni Muslim. Many people, observers from, shall we say, middle America, do not realize that there are two main branches of Islam, and they really don't like each other. Forget about Israel or Turkey. And these things are go into the ingredients of making a very a volatile situation here. Israel has to be on guard because either side, but the opposition or official Syria could try to stir up trouble on the border simply to draw attention to the way of what the real issues are. And that is one of the problems we have, because we don't want to get into internal Syrian politics. We'd rather have the so-called Western democracies deal with the human rights issues rather than us.
Very interesting. Winky, this last week, the death of Yitzhak Shamir, former prime minister of the state of Israel. You knew the man. He was a very interesting man. Talk to me about the man himself, Yitzhak Shamir.
Yitzhak Shamir came to Israel at the age of 20 to go to university. He had not enough money. He became a construction worker, but committed to the establishment of the state of Israel and the Tyrian security situation. He was drawn into retaliation against Arab terror during the late 1930s, moved on to a very strong and strident anti-British resistance movement, including, I must admit, assassinations of high British officials. The State of Israel was created. He later went into the Mossad. He helped bring Jews out of Russia. Then Ethiopia, became foreign minister and the prime minister. I was with him at the Madrid conference in 1991. I've heard him speak ever since I've been in Israel. Jimmy, no matter what you think of politics, this was a man of stern mien, but a person who attracted commitment and willingness and dedication from everybody who knew him. I once had a meeting with him with two members of Knesset where we spoke for 15 minutes and he didn't say a word. He just, you could not move him. If he did not want to do or say something, he wouldn't do it. He was a very keen lover of the land of Israel and the Jewish people. And from his position, he viewed himself as justified in his life's endeavors. I think that's one of the messages we have to learn from people with strong commitment and feelings of responsibility to the people of Israel and its land.
Winky, thank you so very much for giving us insight into the Middle East and what's happening there, in particular in the land of Israel. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a lovely week up there in your camp. And thank you, and good night to you and the listeners.